I sat at Cinnamon's desk and placed my hands on the keyboard. The feel of my fingers on the keys was still fresh from my conversation with Kumiko. That computer conversation had been monitored by Noboru Wataya, I was sure. He was trying to learn something from it. He certainly hadn't arranged for us to make contact that way out of the goodness of his heart. He and his men were almost certainly trying to use the access they had gained to Cinnamon's computer through the communications link to learn the secrets of this place. But I was not worried about that. The depths of this computer were the very depths of Cinnamon himself, and they had no way of knowing how incalculably deep that was. 24. The signal turns red. The long arm reaches out. Cinnamon was not alone when he arrived at 9 o'clock the next morning. Beside him in the passenger seat was his mother, Nutmeg Akasaka. She had not been here for over a month. She had arrived with Cinnamon unannounced that time, too, had breakfast with me, and left after an hour or so of small talk. Cinnamon hung up his jacket, and while listening to a Handel Concerto Grosso for the third day in a row, he went to the kitchen to make tea and toast for his mother, who had not yet eaten breakfast. He always made perfect toast, like something out of a commercial. Then, while Cinnamon straightened up the kitchen, as usual, Nutmeg and I sat at a small table drinking tea. She ate only one slice of toast with a little butter. Outside, a cold, sleety rain was falling. Nutmeg said little, and I said little. A few remarks about the weather. She seemed to have something she wanted to say, though. That much was clear from the look on her face and the way she spoke. She tore off stamp-sized pieces of toast and transported them one at a time to her mouth. We looked out at the rain now and then, as if it were our long-time mutual friend. When Cinnamon had finished with the kitchen and started his cleaning, Nutmeg led me to the fitting room. This one had been made to look exactly like the fitting room in the Akasaka office. The size and shape were almost identical. The window here also had two layers of curtains and was gloomy even during the day. The curtains were never open more than 10 minutes at a time while Cinnamon was cleaning the room. There was a leather sofa here, a glass vase with flowers on the table, and a tall floor lamp. In the middle of the room stood a large workbench, on which lay a pair of scissors, scraps of cloth, a wooden box stuffed with needles and thread, pencils, a design book, in which a few design sketches had been drawn, and several professional tools, the names and purposes of which I did not know. A large full-length mirror hung on the wall, and one corner of the room was partitioned off by a screen for changing. The clients who visited the residence were always shown to this room. Why Cinnamon and his mother had felt the need to make an exact reproduction of the original fitting room, I had no idea. Here there was no need for such camouflage. Maybe they and their clients had become so accustomed to the look of the room in the Akasaka office that they were unable to come up with any new ideas for decorating this place. Of course, they could just as well ask, "What's wrong with the fitting room?" Whatever the reason for having it, I myself was pleased with it. It was the fitting room, not any other room, and I felt a strange sense of security there, surrounded by all kinds of dressmaking tools. It was an unreal setting, but not an unnatural one. Nutmeg bid me sit on the leather sofa and sat down next to me.
"So, how are you feeling?"
she asked. "Not bad," I answered. Nutmeg was wearing a bright green suit. The skirt was short, and the large hexagonal buttons came up to the throat like one of those old Nehru jackets. The shoulders had pads the size of bread rolls. The look reminded me of a science fiction movie I had seen a long time ago, set in the near future. Almost all the women in the movie wore suits like this and lived in a futuristic city. Nutmeg's earrings were large plastic things, the exact color of her suit. They were a unique deep green that seemed to have been made from a combination of several colors and had probably been ordered specially to match the suit. Or perhaps the opposite was true. The suit had been made to match the earrings, like making a niche in the wall the exact shape of a refrigerator. Maybe not a bad way to look at things, I thought. She had arrived wearing sunglasses.